Welcome back to the Mojo Podcast. My name is Richard Stokes. I'm the host, producer, and editor of the podcast that each week asks brave and fascinating guests what mojo means to them and reveals their own mojo story, the highs and lows, and everything in between. I've become intrigued with the magical essence of mojo over the last few years, and I've worked hard on my own mojo. Indeed, you can hear my own story in the very first episode of the first series. Part of my mojo journey was moving to the beautiful island of Ibiza with my wife a couple of years ago, and recently we've been blessed with the arrival of our baby son, Noah. Yes, hello Noah. Despite a few sleepless nights, our mojo is at an all-time high, and I'm delighted to be back in the studio and talking to a series of amazing guests. Over the coming weeks, I'm talking about a range of themes that all impact our mojo. Charity, money, colour, relationships, resilience, and many, many more. Got so many really interesting and always revealing conversations coming up, and I really hope you can join in. Now, the best way to do that is to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and you'll get a reminder when a new episode arrives, which is always on a Monday morning, which we can now start to call Mojo Monday, perhaps. On to this week's guest and the first guest of Series 2, and I couldn't hope for a better guest to kick off the new series. Susie Pearl is a writer, coach, expert on creativity and happiness. Wonderfully and conveniently, Susie and I both live on Ibiza, so we're able to meet face to face and record together, just as her new book, The Art of Creativity, is launched. We talk about the book at length, and you'll get the benefit of her thoughts on how we can all embrace creativity and develop a more creative mindset to help with our mojo. Now, the story behind how she came to write the book is fundamental to her mojo journey, and she talks candidly about survival and growth. Given just 6 weeks left to live following an aggressive brain tumour diagnosis, Susie fought back with positivity, with clear intentions, and using creativity. It's an amazing story. Indeed, I found that survival and overcoming odds has become a consistent theme of the Mojo Podcast to date. It seems that survival opens up new channels for us, removing previous blocks, creating new beliefs, and helps us find new skills. And in the world we live in right now, we're all surviving something. I hope you enjoy the conversation. We had to slightly suffer for our arts, having to turn off the much-needed air conditioning in Susie's home studio, so you can hear the occasional banging of a window as we let in a little bit of breeze. Make sure you keep listening all the way to the end as Susie sets out some brilliant instructions for mojo just towards the end of our conversation. Now, if you're new to the podcast, there are three super easy things that you can do to help more people discover the Mojo Podcast. As I said, please do subscribe for those new episodes. Please leave a 5-star rating, and the creme de la creme, if you could write a short review if you like what you hear, that really helps more people be able to discover the Mojo Podcast, and part of my mission, hopefully helps more people with their own mojo. One extra little gift from the Mojo Podcast is I've also been asking my guests for the music that really helps their mojo, and I've developed a little Spotify playlist, which you'll see the link to in the show notes, so enjoy that. So thank you so much for tuning in, and now over to my mojo conversation with Susie Pearl. Welcome, Susie. How are you today, and how is your mojo out of 10?
How's my mojo out of 10? Pretty good, actually. Yeah, pretty good. I try very hard to keep my mojo high levels as much as possible. I've spent kind of the last 10 years actually working on my mojo and making sure it's in a good position on the scale. So today I'm great, thank you.
And would you want to number that out of 10?
I would say 9. Why not?
Nice,
yeah,
and high.
9. Yeah, feeling good. This lockdown has been a time of great creativity for me, and having time and space to do what I love, which is creating things. So I feel like this is a very special time. We're in Ibiza. Ibiza is in an extraordinary stage, really. It's the first time for probably 2 decades that we haven't had rammed island full of, tourists arriving. We've had some tourists here, But because the clubs are closed this year and because of everything that's been happening around the globe, it's a lot quieter and it's a lot more peaceful. So I'm enjoying it.
You're very aware of your mojo. You've been working on it, as you say, for at least 10 years. What does that word mean to you? How do you define mojo for yourself?
Well, I think mojo is a state of mind and a feeling space inside the body. That's how I code the word mojo. Having my mojo in place is really about having my emotions high, feeling, I think, sort of on top of my game, I guess is a good way to describe it. And I work hard at that. You know, I meditate a lot. I don't pack too much in anymore. I used to be in a high octane job in London, running my own business, running my own PR agency, which was hectic and stressful and very busy every day. And now I've tried to create a life that is not that. It's something that I take control of my own diary. I don't have too much going on, although I do a lot of things, and try and make life a little easier on myself.
Sounds like you're very clear intent about what you want to do and what you don't want to do, by the sounds of it.
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, I'm a coach as well as a podcaster and a writer about things to do with coaching and happiness. It's important for us to set intentions and have goals, I believe, because that way, if we know what we want, we have a good chance of being able to get it. If we don't know where we want to go, we have no chance of where we're going, or if we hit our posts that we put in the ground. So I think it's very important. And also I know that the brain works on the basis of when you set intentions, we start creating our life experience. And once we have very clear intentions, not messy intentions, often we'll have an intention, but then we can have belief systems that then muck it up and cause us to sabotage ourselves. So I've been doing a lot of research around this and it interests me. Intentions and goal setting really interests me. I spend a lot of time, I do journal. In my new book, I've got a whole chapter on journaling and why it's important for health. So I do journaling a lot. I do set it, actually, I write down, I have vision boards, I write down my intentions. I spend time really thinking about what I do want. Because I teach that, it makes me have to do the work myself, which is great. And I found that I became a really good manifester. You know, I started thinking, I'd done this for years. When I had my PR agency, I would think of things I wanted to create. And then the phone would ring and someone on the other end would be offering that thing or connecting me with that thing. And I had so many examples of this, but I began to realize that synchronicity is not random. Synchronicity happens when there's a convergence of ideas and mind focus on something. And you really set your intention, set your intent, set your mind focus. And then you actually start beginning to create these doors opening. And it just happened so much that I couldn't not believe it.
That's a theme that's come out a lot, actually, in my conversations with people about mojo synchronicity. And it's not quite the same thing, but I read a great quote yesterday about luck and saying that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So it is about getting yourself in that position, getting yourself ready, manifesting kind of what you want.
Manifesting, taking risks. And, you know, a lot of people say to me, oh, you've got such a lucky life. You know, your life is, I wish I had your life. Well, you know, I took a lot of risks. When I left London, I packed my bags, came with my son. We had two bags each. We had no plan, had no backup, no school, no job, nowhere to live. And so, you know, I took a risk, but it was a risk backed by trust and faith that we're always looked after. And I think sometimes to get what you want, you do have to take big strides and big change and make big changes and have some courage. And yeah, I mean, for many people, change is scary. The globe has been through a lot of change this year. We all know about what that story is. And I think the world is transforming. I think attitudes are transforming. I think perceptions are transforming. We are beginning to care more about this planet. We're beginning to care more about our resources. We're beginning to care more about each other and realize that we have to lean into kindness and responsibility. And I think that's very helpful. Although this has been an extremely tough time, a lot of people have had a lot of anxiety and had a lot of upsetting things happen and maybe lost their jobs, maybe lost people close to them. Mm. You know, there's been a lot of very strong stories running. And in the midst of all of this, I think we have all learned a lot. We've learned a lot too about appreciation and being grateful for what we have. And the simple things of life, going for a walk in the open air and the fresh air and being, you know, able to enjoy nature, all of these things have suddenly become very important. I don't think that was true, you know, in the past before this pandemic. I don't think people really cared so much about going for walks out in nature or looking after, you know, one another and so on. Community has increased. I think people are eating more healthy and being aware of, you know, where their food comes from. Certainly here in Ibiza, a lot of the farms started delivering food to homes. And we had a food delivery from a farm. Some friends of ours are farmers, and they would bring their produce around and drop it off at people's houses. And we bought it that way. And when we stopped going to supermarkets and had these delicious boxes arrive from the farms, we don't want to go back to supermarket shopping. A lot of people's shopping practices have changed. And our attitudes to many things have changed. I think it's all for good. Mm. We've slowed down a bit. We've learned how to de-stress, and we've learned how to, you know, the fact that we should have our mojo in place, the fact that we should feel good, the fact that, you know, we should be enjoying this life day by day. And I think a lot of people had organized their lives to be very stressful, working very hard, perhaps in jobs they didn't like, perhaps with people they didn't like. And this opportunity here has given us the chance to have a reset and a rethink.
Yeah, and this great pause, as it's been described to me, I've used that term on the podcast before, has given people that perhaps that chance to take that moment, that time, sort of 3 months, to think about what they want, and I think develop some new habits, a lot of the ones you're talking about there. And one of the habits we're going to dive into, we talked a little bit about the book, we're going to talk a lot more about it shortly, but around creativity, just linking that back with the pandemic. Do you have a sense of what's happened with your own creativity and the collective creativity during this time? Has it helped?
A lot has happened regarding creativity. So when people got locked down, what seems to have happened is people have turned to creativity to keep themselves occupied, sane, and to connect with their inner spirit in a way. So it's been a time where suddenly work was taken away, the opportunity to go out and do all the things that we normally filled our time with and got hypnotized with, you know, restaurants, bars, and so on. All of that went away, and it left people really at home going, okay, now what? Many, many people turned to creativity. So many people I know have written books, myself included, started painting, started doing music, started sewing, started making crafts, making furniture, all sorts of things. My publisher said the other day, you know, there's never been a better time to have a book out on creativity. It's perfect. We didn't know this was going to happen, of course. Books take a long time. This has been 2 or 3 years in the pipeline. But actually, now it's being launched now, that it's perfect time. Creativity is the hot subject. And also, I think the world is realizing we need creativity. Since human life began and we were in caves and man was drawing paintings on caves, and you look back at ancient Egypt and all the amazing hieroglyphics and how we communicate with words and how we communicate with music and art, it's all in there and it's part of the human condition. And I know that creativity has never been important as it is now.
In terms of your own creative journey, when did you realise perhaps this, as you've talked to, this power of creativity and just what it can do? Was there a point in your life and you had a bit of an aha moment about creativity?
I think it was progressive, actually. I mean, I had a PR agency, and that was needing a lot of creativity with creating new campaigns all the time for new clients, coming up with new ideas, new ways of doing things. So that, I've always been pretty creative. And then I got ill. I had a brain tumour. And when I had that tumour, extraordinary thing happened, actually. Everyone thought I was going to die, except me and my son. But what happened was a lot of the filters of normal everyday life were taken away when I had that illness. And I suddenly had this incredible rise in creativity. When I was in the hospital, I asked for crayons, pens, big sheets of paper, sticky tape, and I was just putting up all these ideas all around the hospital room. I just was at my highest creative point. I said, please bring me a laptop immediately. And I just started writing and I couldn't stop. It was like the stream had opened. And I put it down to the fact that, you know, my filters of life changed. When I think you have a near-death experience and you face death face on, a lot shifts and you realise that a lot of things that we worry about, the things of money, time, or what did so-and-so think of me, did I say the wrong thing, all these anxieties that we have as human beings, they get into perspective and you realise it's all nonsense, really. You know, there is only one, there's one big, as far as I'm concerned now, I see the world as one big stream of creative spirit, a divine spark, if you will, that moves us and drives us along and gives us inspiration, gives us ideas. And I think as human beings, we're meant to be here enjoying life. We're meant to be having our mojo at a high. We're meant to have fun. And I think many of us have lost their way. And one of the things that's happening now with this situation, with the pandemic, is that we are being stripped back to our roots again and have the opportunity to reset and relook at what's going on. Perhaps put routines in a, you know, in a different, have different daily routines and different life routines that will serve us better. Now we've had a chance to look at life when all our normal stuff has been taken away.
In a way, the when you had the, was it you were given 6 weeks?
Yeah, 6 weeks
left to live.
Yeah, if I was lucky.
Wow.
I mean, it's a humongous brain tumour, absolutely massive. When I had the scan, they were like, wow, they were surprised I wasn't dead already. So the prognosis did not look good. But I had utter faith. I'd done a lot of mind techniques. I spent 10 years studying all sorts of things from hypnosis, theta healing, Reiki healing, the creative visualization, all of these things. I've done a lot of writing on and a lot of studies with. And I know that we create our realities through the way we think and feel. And I was determined to get out of this one. Mm. And get out of it, I did. Mm. It's so, quite amazing.
So all that, in a way, all that preparation you'd done, unknowing, obviously, that you're going to become so unwell, absolutely helped you live.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, for example, around my bed in the hospital, when the doctors came in, I'd be, hi, how you doing? And they're like, oh, all right, we've just seen your test results. And they'd be, you know, trying to give me the worst news or the news that they felt they should give me as doctors. And I was adamant that I wasn't going to have negativity talk, bad talk, depressing talk around my bedside, and I would ask them not to speak like that. And of course it was very challenging for my family, who were like, well, we do need to know the truth of, you know, how things are. And I said, really, I don't want to know the truth of how things are. I'm creating a different outcome here. So I had these crazy rules. I didn't want people to speak badly about what I got or tell me bad news. I just didn't want any of that. I wanted to keep it on a positive, uplifting, because I knew that was my way out. Everyone thought I was crazy, and I was a little crazy at the time, which actually helped the process, being that crazy. Mm. But it allowed me to come out the other side. And when the doctor delivered me the third scan, which was showing that the tumour had gone, except for a little bit of scar tissue, he actually said, I don't know how to really explain this. It looks like a miracle to me. We're not in the business of miracles in medicine, but it does look like a miracle. And I said, yes, it is a miracle. And, you know, I used every tool I have for self-healing. Some of the tools I use are like CBD oil. I had daily hypnosis to tell my cells how to reorganize themselves. I had high nutrition, green juices, fresh food, organic food, supplements, this kind of thing, journaling, my creativity. I wrote a book when I was in hospital, when I came out, actually, I was staying at my family's, and I just started writing, couldn't stop. I'd already got this book underway. I got a commission from a publisher to write this book, and then I got ill. So it was really when I got ill, and following the illness as I was in recovery, was the time when I got really, really creative. I was at my keyboard every day, first thing in the morning. With my breakfast, I would start. and I would be tap, 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 tap. And I had my own schedule of how I was writing. I'd be doing a whole chapter. I gave myself so many days to write a whole chapter, and I had 7 chapters to write, and I just got on with it. I was really focused in a quite a crazy way. It must have looked very strange from the outside. From the inside, it seemed totally normal. But the words just came. The word just came. And what I've learned about creativity is that you tune in to this stream. And in this stream are ideas, concepts, things that we can grab and grasp. And I found that these drop in to many people at the same time. So our job is to, when we get a good idea, is to take that ball and run with it before someone else does.
And let's get into the book. So The Art of Creativity, 7 Powerful Habits to Unlock Your Full Potential. So I love the book.
Thank you.
I read it last week.
Thank you.
As you say, 7 chapters. I loved it because it was highly applicable, but I really like this holistic approach you take to it. I mean, there are countless books about creativity. How to be more creative. And I think a lot of them get straight into, here's a technique you must use right now. What I really like about the book is it's about focusing, as we've talked about a lot already, on yourself and the self, and putting yourself in the best possible position to allow that creativity that you talk about to then flow. And then it's backed up with, at the end of each chapter, you'll find an exercise, a technique to go away and practice, which really obviously embeds learning. So I really enjoyed it. Can you tell us a bit more about that? Why the focus on, in this holistic approach, kind of this mind-body-spirit connection for creativity?
Mm. Well, I think creativity is one of the most useful ways to integrate the mind, the body, and the spirit. These 3 massive elements that are hard to put your finger on. It's a bit like electricity. What is electricity? Well, we don't know, but it works. Same with the heart and the mind. The connectivity of the heart and the mind is an extraordinary combination. And modern day science, people like Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton, are showing the scientific side of what happens when there is coherence between the heart and the mind. Creativity is one of the finest ways to get these 2 in coherence. The spirit also, what is the spirit? Again, it's a bit like electricity. Who knows what the spirit is, but we all have a sense of what spirit means to us. For me, it's the driving force of life. It's what makes seeds grow into plants and the grass grow and the trees grow. That is the spirit of life, the force of nature, if you will. And so when we combine all these things, that's where the magic is. And I'm interested in magic. I know that this world, this life is quite extraordinary, way more extraordinary than our day-to-day experience may suggest. And I'm interested in finding out this magical aspect, the magical realms of life. And I think when we go into creativity, many people experience this combining of heart, mind, and spirit. And that's why one of the reasons creativity is so healing, because it allows us to blast through our blocks. I believe that everyone is creative. I believe that everyone has creativity within them. If you're a human being, you're creative. Sometimes it's bashed out of us during school times by teachers and things. Yeah. Certainly, you know, I'm a best-selling author. I've got several books out. I've got a new one on its way. And I failed English. And I was told that English was not my strong subject. And forget about writing. We're told at an early age what our paintings are like, what our music is like. Mm. Oh, you're musical. Well, don't believe any of that. We are all holding the potential for whatever we want to create. So I would, invite people to give it a go, give it a try. Mm. It's not about producing something fantastic. It's about being on the journey. Creativity is accessible to everyone. It's incredibly fun, and it allows you expression. I think at this time as well, where we've all been locked down physically, we've been locked down emotionally, we've been locked down in terms of our energy, and I think to open it up with creativity is a very smart way to go.
And there's definitely a central theme running through there around belief for me, a lot of your life to date around belief. And I loved your approach to that. There's a wonderful line in the book where you say, I called myself a writer many years before writing anything of significance. Mm. And a little bit maybe goes back to what you were told at school. Mm. Can you tell us more about that state of mind, getting yourself into that state of mind of belief, and any techniques that help with that?
Mm. Well, I think it's good to find out. I think it's my first or second chapter. We talk about fears and blocks. And the first thing is identify what your fears and blocks are. Once we start identifying these things, you get the chance to dissolve it and you get a chance to deconstruct it. It's really useful. So I recommend people write down what their fears and blocks are. So, you know, if you were to say, oh, my greatest fear about writing the book I've always wanted to write is dot, dot, dot. Just let it flow. Randomly write down your answers to these things and you will find out. It will be revealed through journaling or whatever what your fears actually are, and then have a look at them and laugh at them in their face. You know, because they are not real. Fears are not real, really. We need to change our belief systems around, you know, what we think about things. We're a bundle of fears. We're a bundle of programs. We're a bundle of belief systems. It's really useful to know what yours are. And find out what yours are and really work at it. Affirmations are great, you know, writing down contrary positions. So if you're worried about, say you're worried about money, money comes to me, money flows to me, you know, do some affirmations, because your brain doesn't know the difference between your imagination and actually what's really going on. So if you imagine and visualize things, your brain will take that as reality. It's very, very useful. Affirmations are brilliant. I've written another book called Instructions for Happiness and Success, which I think is, I stand by it. It's a brilliant book. It's a fantastic book that really goes into how to work with frequencies, energies, fears, and get your belief system sorted out. And it's a life changer. You know, when you start doing these things, it changes your whole world. There are some audios and some meditations I've done. There's seven chapters in that book as well. I always write seven chapters, my lucky number. So with Instructions for Happiness, you can find it on my site. And on my site in the book section, there's a section of audios which go with each chapter of the book. If you listen to those every day, there's meditations for all sorts of things that are going on in your life. And it will get you into the zone of infinite possibility. They're really powerful. And there's brainwave entrainment behind them, which takes you into peak performance. So have a look and check it out.
You also mentioned there's a lovely section in the book around daydreaming. Mm. I'm a massive fan of daydreaming.
Daydreaming is fantastic. You know, I remember my mum saying, oh, you've always got your head in the clouds, Susie. You know, you need to get grounded or something. I don't think she used the word grounded, but that was what she meant.
Yeah.
Is that I spent my life, you know, wandering around in a dream world. And you know what? That is fantastic. It's in the dream world where we can create. It's in the dream world where magic happens. And when we dream and have dreams, it's absolutely fantastic. It's our higher selves talking to us, going, expanding our vision, expanding our possibilities. It's fantastic. Mm. So I highly encourage kids, adults, oldies, to get involved with daydreaming.
Yeah.
And there's a bit in the book about how to do daydreaming.
Which I recommend reading. Because I've just got this sense that in the world we live in now, especially, you know, social media is part of it, we are distracted almost constantly. And we almost want to be distracted. If you look at people waiting for a lift, what do? Grab their phones, check notifications, instead of entering that wonderful dreamlike state, perhaps for a moment. So
it's in that dream state where a lot happens in the brain. And I've got a chapter in the book on brainwave states. Doesn't sound like, oh, I must read about brainwave states. You know what? It's one of the most important things to know about. When you're in the right brainwave state, and the book tells you how to get in there, you can go from being stuck to in flow. You can go from a space of not knowing what you're supposed to be doing to feeling clear and have good clarity. Brainwave states are powerful, and there are many great ways of how to get into different states for different things. You could be in a focused state, in a creative state, in a rejuvenation state, helping your body rejuvenate and heal. There are many different states and sound frequencies. And now with different sound technologies like binaural beats. There are amazing meditations available to take you in straight into these different resource states. Highly recommend. I mean, as humans, we should know how our brain works, so we can use it really, really well. And that's what I've been interested in for the last sort of 10 years. There's a very important chapter in the book about meditation. I've been a TM meditator for 15 years now, and I work with the David Lynch Foundation. David Lynch has been very supportive of my work and has kindly given me a quote for the cover of my book, which is so nice of him. I mean, he's a genius. He's a film genius, a creative genius, and he's been a TM meditator for 40 years. He's never, ever missed a slot. I can't say that myself. I've missed many slots. But when I meditate, what I find out is life goes into flow. Things sort themselves out. Problems I thought I had get resolved. My energy rises. I feel like I've had a good night's sleep. I know that my body heals when I go into meditation, and I get the best ideas. So all in all, meditation is a great idea. It's free. It's accessible. We can all do it. It's very simple. So I recommend you learn how to do it and do it regularly. And there's a couple of exercises in the book on how to get started.
Mm. Yeah, well, as a fellow meditator, I do Vedic meditation, very similar to TM. But like you, I find myself getting a lot of wonderful ideas in that meditative state. And then it's a bit of a battle. It's like, oh, I've got to try and remember that. But actually, what you're trying to do with your mind is just is relax the mind. And safe in the knowledge that idea being a good idea, it'll come back to you at some point later in the day. But what is...
Well, write it down, carry a book. I mean, I always carry a little book around. And I interviewed David Lynch, and he said, don't let your ideas get away. Write them down, because they will. They can run off. And so it is good, you know, if you have a great idea, capture it. He said he's lost some really good ideas that he knows just went, and he'll never get them back. But if you write them down, you know that when you come out of this meditation, you've got them there and you can work with those. Very good. Very, very good. I also talk about being a maverick in the book. There's a chapter on being a maverick. I'm a big fan of breaking rules, doing things differently. And when you look at the great, you know, there's a lot of people working like Steve Jobs was a great maverick. Elon Musk. These people who make changes to the world are often breaking the rules and not doing things the way that they have always been done or people expect them to be done. So being a maverick, you know, it's about looking at things differently, you know, putting together ideas differently, not being afraid to stick your neck out. Mm.
On that subject of mavericks, and just sort of going back maybe a bit sort of earlier in your career, because when you were running your PR agency and working with a lot of extremely well-known creative mavericks, I would call them, people like Madonna, David Bowie, Michael Jackson. If you look back, did you get a sense from them, could you, in their creativity, was there something that unified them in terms of where they got to that?
That was one of the reasons that I started getting, I wrote the book Instructions for Happiness. I was working with A-listers, very close up. I'd be in their homes looking after them, you know, like with them day by day, advising them and stuff and working with them. And these are creative geniuses of our time. You know, it's MTV World, so all of the stars were available and a phone call away because we had to deal with all of them doing various award shows and films and stuff. So I'd come into contact with all these people, film stars, music stars, rock stars, pop stars, whatever. And I found out something really interesting by working with these people. I found out they aren't that happy. And I thought, wow, okay, so you've got all this money, you've got the jets, you've got the amazing pad in Hollywood and, you know, platinum albums and sold out arena stadiums, but you're not that happy. Oh, that's interesting. So if it's not all these things that we're aspiring to, more money, more fame, more success, if it's not that that is creating happiness, then what is it? That was the driver that got me to research what's going on with creativity and with happiness. Mm. And yeah, for sure, these things are not ensuring that these people are happy. So I found out in my studying that happiness is within us. It's something that we find inside ourselves. It's not out there. It's not something that you can go out and collect. It's something you manufacture inside your own body. And I was found this out. I was like, wow. And I started really investigating how on earth do you create happiness? And that was the basis of my book, Instructions for Happiness. And once you learn these core techniques and these core principles around happiness, then you realize that we can all get there. It's a decision. It's a choice you make to be happy.
Mm. And that sense of what you are in control of yourself, because there's so much obviously in life that we are not in control of. And I think when you realize what you can influence, what's not in your control, the happier you probably get. What are you focusing on in terms of, you talked a bit about this at the beginning, in terms of your own elements of self-care, and self-care is a huge theme in the book. What are some of the other things that you do on a daily basis, perhaps, to come back to your mojo? What really keeps it where you want it to be?
Okay, so if I was asked for instructions for your mojo, this is what my
Sounds like a new book.
Number one, your inputs. Have a look at your inputs, the kind of films you watch, the music you listen to, the food you eat. Everything has an effect on your frequency, especially food, especially conversations and other people you hang out with. So it's very important that you keep frequency high. You need to eat fresh food, good food, preferably organic food, food from that's local, and hydrate with good water. Have a nutrition-based focus when you eat anything. Is this going to help me and increase my frequency, or is it going to pull my frequency down? As you pop, you know, a sugary cake into your mouth, think about how it's going to make you feel, and is it going to help you? Food is medicine. Plato said this, or I don't know if it was Plato, actually. Anyway, who cares? It's a very important statement. Food is medicine. And we have to nourish ourselves very properly. And sugar is not your friend. Booze is not your friend. Drugs are not your friend. They alter your frequency in often toxic ways, or often ways that are not natural. You know, we're the best designed computers on the planet. Our design is amazing. Cut yourself, you heal immediately. Amazing. All the billions of processes that are going on inside you, they're balanced beautifully. Don't unbalance them with crazy things that affect the inside workings and chemistry of your body. There is no need. Nourish yourself well, sleep well, speak well to others, about others. Be kind. Don't gossip. Don't have toxic chat. Think about good things. The important thing that you put in your mind's eye, in your mental screen, make that really, really good. Make it what you want. Be kind to others. Read stuff. Lean into creativity. Have good friends. Be kind to each other. Have a build a community. This is very important. One thing we've learnt, we've really missed in lockdown is community. Yeah. We need a community. We need friends around us. We need, you know, your family, your friends, the people you like and love, have, you know, take care of them, look after them, give them stuff. And we need to be just kinder to each other and the planet. That's my recommendation for getting a good mojo.
I love that. Instructions for Mojo. Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you very much. So just looking a little bit forward now, Susie, in terms of, obviously you've written a book now about creativity. And I know your son is at university and obviously might be entering the world of work at some point in the near future. What advice would you give to him, people of his age, about creativity and about how to take that into the workplace of the future, whatever that even looks like post-COVID?
Well, the last chapter of my book is about the future. And the future is something we don't know. I mean, look at 2020. None of us knew. When we were doing New Year's Eve, yay, come on, 2020. Well, probably if we'd known, we'd go, well, actually, hang back, 2020. We're not quite ready for you yet. No one knows what the future holds, particularly in this world of huge transformation and change right now. However, for the young ones, I think they have come in chipped slightly differently. They already know how to handle technology. That's not a new thing for them. For the new kids coming through, the new generation coming through, it's important that they understand the power and potential that they have, and that They should value their ideas. They should collaborate and get together, because when young people do that, extraordinary things happen. My son's working on a new business project himself at the moment, an eco-related project. And his ideas are phenomenal. You know, he showed me something yesterday. It's like he's designed the London tube map all over again in this sort of colourful modular form, which explains the concept he's working on, which is a complex area. It's explained really easily. He's done an amazing job. So I think the young ones should, one, not follow what we have already done, create something completely new, innovative, new paradigms exist, have faith that they can get ideas off the ground. There's enough capabilities, resources and technology available to us all now. We can all be a designer. We can all be a communicator globally very quickly and so on. And to feel inspired and to get inspired, to do good work, to apply yourself. I don't believe anything comes very without working hard and applying yourself. So don't be afraid of working and joining hands with other people and collaborating on projects. The world is your oyster right now.
Fabulous. And in terms of, so obviously the book comes out, is it August the 6th?
August 6th. It comes out. It's The Art of Creativity, 7 Powerful Habits to Unlock Your Full Potential. You can pre-order it on Amazon now. I would love it if you got hold of a copy and left me a review on Amazon. That's so useful. And have a look at my website, where you can also get the other book I mentioned, Instructions for Happiness and Success.
And there's a whole load of resources on
the
website as
well. There's loads of free resources and meditations on there. So have a read of those. And I'll be doing a lot of press in the coming months. So I think you'll probably see it around quite a bit.
Brilliant. And I'll have all the links will be in the show notes to that. So sort of final question, Susie, is we've just said we can't predict the future. But if looking forward for yourself in the next year or so, what are you looking to do, longing to do, what's next for you?
Well, I have a different take in life now, on life now, having had life-threatening illness and come out the other side. Every day is precious to me. I'm very grateful to be here. I nearly didn't make it. So I have a fresh, inspired perspective of life. I'm in the middle of writing two more new books. One's about creative visualization. The other is about intuition. I want to do a lot more podcasts and talks and get people excited and really share my knowledge and understanding about the world and the brain and consciousness, because we've got a long way to go. We're getting there now. We're transforming. We're changing our belief systems and our approach to life. But there's a lot further we can go. So I'm going to concentrate on getting my work out there, because I think it's really important work right now. And I think people are wanting it. They're wanting to know how to feel better. They're wanting to know how to reduce stress and enjoy life. Make every day count, really, and have the best kind of life I could possibly can. That's what I'm about for the future.
Wonderful. Susie Pell, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Great to spend some time, Richard, talking. And I wish everyone a good day ahead. And keep focused and keep creative. Enjoy. Thank you.
Well, I really enjoyed that chat with Susie. So much in there. And actually, just for me, it's great to be hearing more Mojo stories again and getting back into the swing of podcasting. Now, I always wrap up each episode by trying to summarize parts of the conversation, or at least pull out 2 to 3 key themes. Not always easy, as with Susie. There's so much in there, but there's certainly some things that are resonating for me, and see what's coming out for you. The area around preparation and developing yourself I thought was really interesting. She'd been working on herself for years, as she says, well before her illness. But because she'd put that hard work in, when the bad news came, she was in a much better position to deal with that. So think about what habits you can put in place now that will help you further down the line. Hopefully, it's not as serious as a cancer diagnosis, but everything we do now will all have benefit later on. And linked to that is this area around belief. I think the preparation, the work on self that Susie's done has really helped with her belief, and helped to have belief when no one else had belief in her, whether it be around surviving the cancer diagnosis, or as a teacher said at school, you're not a writer. Her tip to develop belief by really focusing on those fears and calling them out is really, really powerful and really helped dissolve them. It's actually a technique I use with my own coaching clients, is to get people to write down the things they're really, really worried about, and then we work through them and we see how real they are. And just to prove how useful a tool that can be, I actually did this myself as my wife and I approached childbirth with Noah. There was lots of things I was really scared about when it came to childbirth. And writing them down, working through them step by step really helped me break that down and feel in a much better place. It just helped with my level of anxiety before welcoming lovely Noah into the world. And another area, how can you give your brain a break? The chapter in Susie's book about brainwaves is really digestible. I really recommend delving into that bit. And of course, as you heard in the interview, I've got a massive passion for daydreaming. Big fan of it. So I encourage you, try to find those opportunities when you might pick up your phone and you might choose to be distracted. It's not to be distracted, it's just let your mind drift. See where it takes you. See what wonderful ideas and creativity comes up for you. You can find links to Susie's website in the show notes, as we talked about in the conversation. There's loads of fabulous resources in there in terms of meditation, tips for creativity, happiness and success. It's really, really useful. Also in the show notes, you'll find a link to purchase Susie's new book, The Art of Creativity. And I'm sure it's also available in lots of good local bookshops, which of course we should all be supporting as well at this time. So thanks again to Susie for being a fabulous first guest for episode one of the new series of the Mojo Podcast. Next week on the Mojo Podcast, we're talking about the art of giving, of charity, of generosity. My wonderful guest is Johnny Lee, who founded the Charitable Foundation Last Night a DJ Saved My Life. It's a cracking conversation. I really hope you can join us. Until then, I hope your mojo continues to flow.